I'm Kristen McFarland, and this is Market Like a Badass. I'm the founder and CEO of The Source Marketing Group, a marketing technology company in Denver, Colorado, focused on highly regulated markets like cannabis and craft beer. The theme this season for the podcast is increasing revenue with multi-channel marketing. So you'll hear a combination of digital marketing and event tips throughout the customer journey. This season is brought to you by the Source Marketing Group and our media sponsor, Strike Visuals. Today, we're going to hear from special guest Christopher Lackner, founder and president of Hemp Beverage Alliance. The Hemp Beverage Alliance is a trade association representing the emerging and growing hemp beverage industry. Want to make a lasting impression at your next event? Check out Strike Visuals, our favorite partner for custom displays for outdoor and indoor events. They offer the lightest, most durable custom pop-up tents in the industry, as well as flags, backdrops, table covers, and sampling counters, all backed by a lifetime warranty. Strike offers free design services, discounted event packages, and unmatched customer service. Strike now and get noticed. Visit strikenow.com to get started today. Welcome, Chris.
Thank you so much for having me.
Yes, excited to have you on and tell our audience a little bit more about you, the Hemp Beverage Alliance, and more about what you do.
Sure. So the Hemp Beverage Alliance is the trade association for the hemp beverage industry, as you mentioned. We're relatively new, but about as new as the industry itself. So under a year old, I would say. This time last year, we had about 8 members casually talking about the business. And now, 11 months later, we've got almost 200 members of brand service providers, supply chain providers, and everybody else up and down the industry trying to create this brand new industry.
Wow, that's impressive growth. And I will say I sat in on the meeting and it's so valuable in terms of from a membership perspective, just to be able to hear from other people who are going through the same thing as you in this emerging market. I think it's invaluable what you've put together and just going to really, change industry and help propel it forward. So I want to dive more into what's going on in the industry, and we'll talk about also marketing tips and tricks for hemp businesses. But before we dive into that, I want to ask the most important question of the day, which is, what are you grateful for?
Well, I'll tell you, that's a very good question. You know, the world can be a little unstable these days and a little daunting, but all you need to do is go outside and take a look around. I live in Colorado right now, and one only needs to look at the mountains and breathe the fresh air and see the deer walking around in our town to realize that nature's still doing a pretty good job out there. So I would say grateful for nature is my number one thing today.
Yes. And shout out to Lauren Mundell at High Curious, who took me into nature yesterday. That was the best way to have a meeting. We went out in Boulder, and I think it was the Green Mountain Trail, and we were hiking in snow with micro spikes. And I mean, wow, what a way to get into nature. It was so beautiful. Now I want to pivot a little bit and talk about the industry overall, what's going on there. You all are doing a lot with the Alliance to really help the industry. But overall, what challenges does the hemp beverage industry face, particularly in terms of regulation and consumer perception?
Yeah, well, those are great questions. And, the biggest challenges and also the biggest opportunities that we have is that this is a brand new industry. As we said, the evolution of hemp beverages comes from the idea of people having CBD beverages a couple of years ago and saying that that was beginning to gain traction. And then soon after, people realized that we could create emulsions that also contain other cannabinoids, including hemp-derived delta-9 THC. And so this kind of created this whole new marketplace for beverages that actually you can feel them do something, unlike CBD, which is kind of has some passive qualities to it. I think that anybody that's consumed a delta-9 hemp-derived THC beverage knows that it actually does a little bit more. But with that comes some responsibility to educate consumers, retailers, and distributors about this new product. It's a brand new category. It's a brand new molecule to be found in a can, right? Alcohol has been the dominant molecule in all of our adult beverages. And now we have new cannabinoids that are being put into those. And so, there is an education element that comes with that. And so we work very hard to work with retailers, distributors, and the end consumer to let them know what these products are about, what they're doing, what they don't do, and what you can expect. on the regulatory side, as you mentioned, again, a brand new industry, sometimes some confusion as to what, you know, what is legal and what is not illegal. What is this cannabis? Is this hemp? Is this marijuana? You know, the confusion is significant. And that's because it's a brand new industry and there aren't any guardrails or, you know, strong federal frameworks for it. So we're working on that side too, talking with legislators, regulators, and other stakeholders to create frameworks so that these can be, you know, brought to market efficiently, cleanly, and with the confidence for everybody involved.
That's amazing. And it's really interesting around the consumer perception piece that you touched on, because there is, it's hard, even if you're in the industry. I mean, it's wild from, you know, retail dispensaries to hemp beverage, you know, there's just a lot. And so for a consumer to understand all the nuances, you know, what can we do to kind of push forward that educational piece? Is it through the marketing? Is it through some other method? You know, what's the way to really help move that consumer perception forward more?
Yeah, well, I think the important thing is to have conscientious and thoughtful people in the industry. And that's what the Hemp Beverage Alliance is really proud of. Our members are all very dedicated to quality control, to safety, to empowering consumers to make the right choices. We don't want somebody's first experience with a cannabis or a hemp beverage to be a bad one. And so we recommend, you know, educating the consumers on websites and on the cans and the labels, talking to our frontline retailers to let them know about, you know, what this product is, and also working with distributors so that these are presented to retailers in such a way so that they know how to position them and how to sell them, right? There's varying degrees of, you know, milligram counts could change, you know, and people sometimes aren't quite sure what's right for me. We want people to kind of enter this market slowly, get acclimated to it, and go from there.
Yep. Those are all great points. And what are some of the industry trends right now? Are there certain innovations or trends in the hemp beverage industry that are starting to come to light?
Well, I think what we're seeing is that every previous liquid that you could remember consuming is now being looked at as a potential carrier for hemp cannabinoids. You know, the first brands and products that came out were seltzers, you know, maybe a low calorie or a zero calorie product that was just an easy emulsion to make. We're seeing now more advanced mocktail style products. We're seeing, you know, ones with a lot of fruit. And so it's kind of more of a heavy cocktail kind of thing where it's actually got some depth to it. We're seeing things like cold brew coffee coming online now.
Ooh,
that have,
yum.
Exactly. Yeah, yeah. Let's not rule that out as a tasty treat. But I think the big thing that we're seeing is not so much the flavors and the branding, but what you're not seeing in the can. And that's the emulsion technology, right? So hemp cannabinoids or any cannabinoids, these are oil-based products. They're oils. They don't play well with water. And so they don't mix thoroughly in with a beverage. And so the manufacturers need to find ways to get that molecule suspended or emulsified or otherwise integrated into the water in such a way that it's consistent and it stays suspended or stays in that. And the technology that has come in the past, you know, 9 months for that kind of technology has been significant. And so now, whereas, you know, maybe 2 years ago, you would take a sip of a seltzer and you'd be like, I kind of taste the taste the plant a little bit there.
Yep.
Or maybe you see a little bit of an oil slick, or maybe you see a little bit of sediment. The technology has improved so significantly in the past 9 months that tasteless products, completely clear products, and products that can stay on the shelves for months and months on end is becoming the norm.
Wow. Gosh, is that what Source Technology does? I feel like there's a lot of really cool companies that do that. They're kind of in that cannabis and craft beer and in middle ground space where they can do emulsion, or there's, you know, gosh, there's so much really cool stuff happening.
Yeah, absolutely. And again, it's the behind the scenes folks, you know, it's the intel inside from the computers that, you know, that companies like Source, like Virtosa and others are really moving the technology forward. And, you know, the molecules are getting smaller, the surfactants, the things that cover the molecule are getting thinner. These allow your body to absorb the product faster. And so you can get a more consistent onset. You know, one of the challenges that we have with traditional edibles and gummies is that, you know, sometimes it could take a while for you to feel the effect of that. With a high quality hemp beverage, you can see onset come much quicker and much more consistently. So, you know, on Tuesday, the can that you drink is going to have the same effect as drinking one on a Thursday. And then the offset is also going to be very similar. You can almost time it to see like, okay, this effect is going to be wearing off, you know, within an hour, within 2 hours, or however the manufacturer dictates it.
Nice. And gosh, there's so many cool things that are emerging. And then I feel like some markets, they're really popping in terms of, you know, I think Minnesota has, what, 70, 80 in the category or something. And there's just a lot coming out. Is that because there's a lot of brewers and there is that crossover? Or what's the trend coming out of that state? Is it because of regulations?
It's a combination of both, but it is mostly regulations. So Minnesota has a very robust craft beer industry. So we can set that aside for a second.
Oh, yeah.
But what really happened was, you know, prior to them legalizing marijuana and opening up a, you know, a dispensary industry up there, they actually created a regulatory framework for hemp products and specifically for low dose hemp products like beverages. So they have very specific rules and regulations and taxation and requirements and all the other things that basically all other industries enjoy. And by setting that up, they gave the green light for commerce. So companies are popping up everywhere. You can buy these products, you know, at grocery stores, at liquor stores, at restaurants, movie theaters, wherever a beer, wine, or White Claw is sold, basically, you can find these products. And the best thing about Minnesota is that because of this regulatory framework, consumers are confident that these have been tested products, that they are legitimate products, that the quality is there, that they don't need to worry about contaminants or anything else, just like you would any other product that's in traditional commerce.
Wow, that's amazing.
Yeah, absolutely. And then you take that idea and then you figure that you've got hundreds of craft brewers up there that are looking for another opportunity and you've got a perfect situation for a robust hemp beverage market.
Oh, yeah. Gosh, so much good beer. Ooda Pills. And yeah, there's definitely no shortage of good.
No, we could go on.
And it's cool. I know that I saw the BA, the Brewers Association, on your meeting. And I love seeing this convergence. And I think it's needed for the future, right? Especially as there's more people that are sober curious. You know, you have Zero Proof Nation. So people aren't always necessarily wanting to get, you know, a glass of wine. And so I love that Minnesota is opening up and showing the world what it can be like. Because I was just at an event a couple weeks ago, I was at a concert and trying to find anything that was not alcohol was impossible. Like literally just trying to have water to survive. And, you know, it's like you can buy a beer, but you can't get water. And it always blows my mind. So what do you think is the future of hemp-based beverage? Is it going to continue to converge to where it's literally across all of the industries? We're going to see you at Craft Brewers Conference. I mean, that's already here, right?
Well, first and foremost, yeah, we will be at the Craft Brewers Conference next month. So we'll have a booth there. And if anybody wants to stop by and talk to us about this industry, we'd love to hear from you. You know, there is always going to be a place for alcohol in American drinking culture. I think it's a 3,000-year-old product. I don't know if we're going to really get rid of it all in one fell swoop. But I do think that there is room on the shelf for this new category. And I think that this new category, as you mentioned, is desperately wanted. There's for a variety of reasons, people are tapping the brake on their drinking or eliminating it all altogether, but they still want to socialize and they still want to have, you know, essentially a cocktail experience or a drinking experience. I always say this to folks, try going to a party and not have anything in your hand. It's just a very awkward situation.
Yeah.
to do. And, you know, we are a culture that, you know, we come around, you know, we join at the table, you know, we celebrate, we mourn, we do all these things with alcohol right now. And there's no reason why, you know, a cannabinoid beverage can't also be one of those options.
Yeah. Amen to that. Yeah, I'm excited to see it really take off and propel and more people get access to it. But hopefully they continue to, again, you know, have examples set like in Minnesota so that we don't have so much red tape slowing down the progress of the industry as well. And in regards to that, you know, can you talk a little bit about how the Hemp Beverage Alliance works to advocate for the interest of hemp beverage producers and consumers?
Yeah, absolutely. So as we mentioned at the top, and as you said, regulation continues to be the challenge. We're in the odd position or the unique. We want regulation and we want to be taxed to some degree because those are aspects by having those in place, it opens up the market. There are a lot of distributors and retailers that may still be hesitant to carry these products because there's some ambiguity as to some of the laws, what they can and cannot do. Some consumers may be hesitant because they're not exactly sure, you know, what the regulation, you know, if they're running afoul of the law, or they might not even be aware of them because they may be in the back corner of the store. So by having regulations in place, we set the roadmap and we set the rules, and that allows the industry to grow as a whole. And so what we are doing is both at the federal and the state level, advocating to create sensible regulations that allow this industry to thrive and while protecting consumers. You know, those are two things that are run hand in hand. So what we do is we work with in a variety of states, a lot of times the trade associations that are already on the ground. There's a lot of hemp trade associations out there. There's a lot of beverage distributors out there that are interested in being a part of this. And so we go in and we work with them to educate them, to talk to legislators, and to provide tips and recommendations for how to make their regulations in the first place, or if they have regulations on the books, how to make them better. You know, a lot of times these regulating bodies don't have a lot of time. They might not be familiar with the category. They might not have even heard of it before they knew they had to regulate it. And so a lot of times there's just a broad brush of regulation that gets put in place. So we go in and explain to them in more detail what it is these products really are, what they do and don't do, how they're different than products that you would find in a dispensary, and you know how they're carefully produced, tested, etc. And that allows the regulators to have some comfort and confidence in developing those regulations. So we continue to do that in any state where we're asked to help, I guess would be the best way to say it.
That's huge. I think it's so important. I mean, what the Brewers Association has been able to do for craft beer, what your association will do for the hemp industry. I mean, it's so important that these groups, you know, do exist to represent the growth of this emerging market. And so I'm really excited that you came on the podcast today, because I think it's just really badass what you're doing. And can you tell people, you know, if they're not even a member today, you know, how else can they support the industry?
Yeah, well, I just want to give a shout out to the craft beer industry as a whole. They, you know, years ago when that was starting out, they all came together with a brand new product that nobody was familiar with, that had a higher ticket price than the beer that their folks were normally used to paying for. And they all worked together to create, you know, what is a very thriving and exciting industry. So we are borrowing a lot of their playbook as we move our industry forward. But I just wanted to give a big shout out to all the craft brewers out there.
Yes.
Who kind of paved the way for this next wave of beverages. But anybody that's interested in getting involved, you know, hempbeverage.org is the easiest, quickest way. There's a button somewhere at the top of that website you can click to get more information and join us. We have a robust mailing list and provide updates on what we're doing. And if you want to become a member, we can certainly help you out with that. The biggest thing that you can do if you're not near a computer and you don't want to join us up, next time you're at your liquor store, ask if they sell hemp beverages. If they do, go ahead and pick one up. If they don't, tell them that they should be buying these. The more that the distributors and retailers find out that these exist and are in demand, the better the chances that they're going to be on those shelves.
Yes. Oh, I just saw a LinkedIn post of a CEO of a liquor store owner, I believe, and he was talking about how like hemp beverages were outselling and THC beverages, like THC infused, all kinds of stuff was really leading the way. So data speaks. Yeah, go to the liquor store, ask for those products, and then buy those products, most importantly. And that'll really, really be one way that you can help move the market forward. Now, I want to pivot a little bit because I want to get the juicy tips and tricks for marketing for hemp businesses. You know, this season is all about multi-channel marketing, because we can't do true omni-channel marketing in highly regulated industries. What are some of the lessons learned in this emerging market as it relates to marketing your brand?
Yeah, well, there's a lot of things that all of our organizations, all the members have learned over the course of the past couple of years. And everybody has a different strategy. Everybody has a different opinion on things. So I'll just tell you my own personal strategies on these things. On the social media side, this is the biggest thing that you need to be aware of, is that social media channels can be very finicky when it comes to advertising products. Twitter and LinkedIn, surprisingly very good when it comes to THC and hemp products. Facebook, Instagram, perhaps not so much. And there's always an opportunity or a chance that you're going to get shadow banned, or your advertising campaign is going to be dismissed if you're not abiding by what they would consider to be their standards and protocols. And I guess the one thing that I would just say to folks is, when it comes to social media advertising, you don't really get a lot of opportunity for pushback. A rule is a rule. And, you know, if Instagram says they're not going to run your ad, you know, I don't know how much luck you're going to have pushing back on that.
Yeah, you get about one day.
Yeah, exactly.
And then they'll kick you off.
But there are other ways that you can do it, you know, making sure your keywords are not causing a distraction with their AI machines, pointing to your distributor, your retailing locations, talking about how your products, where they're available as opposed to where what they are, is always going to be something that's helpful for evading or kind of working around some of those constraints of social media. On the ground aspect, that's a different story. You know, we need to always be aware of that everybody is brand new to this and everybody is always a little bit nervous. And so I would argue very strongly that, you know, there is this adage of like, it's better to ask forgiveness than to ask permission. I think when we're talking about this industry, it's better to ask permission than to ask forgiveness.
Yes.
Because there's nothing that's more harmful than trying to hoodwink a retail partner and, you know, when they don't allow tasting or sampling or something, trying to have an event in a place that doesn't allow THC. It's just a road to awkwardness and a little bit of confusion if, you know, 24 hours before your event, you find out that you can't sample your products, right? So I always say just go in very clearly and upfront saying, this is what we do, this is what we sell, this is the legal landscape or the regulatory landscape in this area, and then moving from there. I think in the long haul, it just creates good, strong bonds with the retailers and the distributors. It demonstrates that we are a careful and thoughtful industry, and it's kind of more of that long-term play. Sure, you can maybe sneak in and, you know, do something for a couple of weeks and maybe make a couple of quick sales, but that's not going to help you or the industry over the long haul.
Yeah. And that really brings me to my next point, because this is something I harp on all the time, is that approach also goes for your marketing technology, right? It's whether you're doing an in-person event or the digital marketing that's running everything that you're doing. We talk about marketing technology and setting it up the right way the first time, because the whole thing is a house of cards if it isn't set up correctly, or if you're working with non-compliant platforms or trying to sneak one over on somebody, right? We were just talking the other day about the challenges of navigating technology, because sometimes a website might play nice with, you know, a processor, but the processor doesn't play nice with hemp. So can you talk through suggestion for doing your due diligence around marketing tools and investments when dealing with such nuanced regulations and compliance needs?
Yeah, absolutely. And that, I'm glad you mentioned that. And I forgot to mention it earlier. There are a lot of turnkey online websites that provide, you know, just turn it on, write a check, and all of a sudden you've got a marketplace. You need to make very certain that all of the components that are in there are accepting of what you're selling. So Shopify, for instance, allows you to put up a hemp beverage website. The default payment processors on Shopify do not. And so, you know, you'll be needing to find a different payment processor if you're going to be connecting with Shopify. A couple of the main payment processing companies do not allow hemp, THC, you know, cannabis, whatever term is in their contract. You need to find that out certainly well in advance, because the last thing you want is to be shut down when you're thriving. If somebody can't make a payment, they see your ad, they go to your website, they try to swipe, nothing happens because your processor isn't working, you're losing sales, and those folks aren't coming back. And moreover, that kind of sullies the brand reputation a little bit as well.
Absolutely.
So definitely make sure that the entire digital ecosystem that you're building is in compliance, or is not so much in compliance, but is on board with what you're selling. There are workarounds, obviously. There are a lot of payment providers out there that do this. You just need to find the ones that work for you. And that also applies for everything from, as I said, your website to really, you know, your accounting, you know, your paying your bills and getting your checks in. That's another point where the payment processing is going to come into place.
Yeah, it's a lot to navigate. We help customers all the time with that, because to your point, you know, it's, oh, okay, I can work with this, but I can't do this, or, you know, and I have to use this language on my website. So if you have questions about your marketing technology stack, that's literally what we do day in and day out. So we can help monetize customer data for our customers. So if you have a question about those website platforms, you know, use us as a resource. That's exactly what we're here for, is to make sure you're not going down a road where you're spending tens of thousands of dollars setting up marketing technology that isn't going to work for you in 8 weeks. You know, that it's huge. And we untie that for people a lot. And I think that's one of the biggest mistakes I see with business owners, or potentially over-engineering their technology, like maybe starting with options that they could probably grow into down the line, and are way too overcomplicated for them to be empowered to even update and use and manage their own website. So yeah, I think that's really important, making sure you dial that in. And then I want to kind of bring it to the top of the funnel, because, you know, to even get people on your website or at your event or on social media engaging with you so you can collect that email and grow your business asset, which is data. What are some of the best top of funnel strategies to get customers to your site?
Well, it all depends on where you're at and what your strategy is, right? To your point, I do want to go back and amplify what you said, that don't go this alone when you're talking about setting up your digital profile and your digital system. There are just so many opportunities for error. And I'm not so much concerned about the $10,000 down the road. I'm worried about the 400 hours down the road for the small businesses that are just starting up.
Yeah.
And the loss of time in terms of trying to get into a marketplace. So I do recommend, you know, talk to somebody. But in terms of, you know, that top of the funnel and trying to identify those customers, you know, I think the first thing that one wants to do is figure out what your strategy is if you're a direct-to-consumer or if you anticipate being more in a brick-and-mortar environment. You know, we do know that the biggest advertising component for our industry is trying the products. And so even if you have a digital strategy where you're going to be just direct to consumer, my suggestion would be to figure out a program in which you are able to get these sampled, or, you know, the lips to sips or sips to lips or whatever.
Yeah.
There's something that everybody says, but there are very few people that try these who say, this is a terrible idea. But there's always a little bit of hesitation, you know, to go on to a website blindly and purchase a product when, truth be told, these aren't cheap most of the time. Buying that off the internet unknown is something that is sometimes a big obstacle. So I would say, you know, if you can geo-target your D2C program, let's just say you're a Philadelphia company, or see if you can geo-target your advertising for Philadelphia and set up some events there, some opportunities to get on shelves somewhere so people can try it. You know, on-premise, you know, restaurants, bars, are a great way to get folks to try your drinks. And so even if you can get into a couple of places to have those on shelves or on bars and menus, that allows somebody to take, you know, to buy one without having to commit to a full 4-pack or 6-pack. And so that's always been very effective for folks.
Yeah, that's such a good idea. And the sips to lips is so true.
I forgot what it was. That might not be it, but you know what I'm talking about.
Oh, but for sure, even back to my Qdoba days when I was doing regional marketing for that brand, you know, their Tex-Mex, you know, franchise. And that was how we grew, was going out, doing surprise and delight, sampling product, bringing chips and salsa and queso. It was like that hyper-local targeting, right? And it's true. I mean, Mile High Labs was at Craft Brewers Conference sampling for the Sober Curious last year, and I stumbled upon their booth and I got to try a couple different drinks. And then now we've bought them off the shelves when we've seen them in stores. So that's what it's all about. And I guess, what are the do's and don'ts then for a successful demo if you are pouring products?
Well, again, and I say this clarity with the relationship that you're having with the retailer or the on-premise location. Don't try to, you know, sneak one past anybody. I cannot stress this enough, that there's a lot of people that, you know, just want to be like, oh, nobody will notice, or nobody will care, or somebody's going to notice and somebody's going to care. And it just, again, does a disservice to the industry and to your brand to be anything except completely upfront with the folks that you're working with. We want to build relationships with everybody.
Yep, that's right.
And so, you know, an on-premise can be as, you know, I don't know of any place, any small on-premise location like a bar or whatever, that is going to oppose the idea of you setting up a deal with them where you're pouring sample drinks and they're running a special on them. You know, they have nothing to lose, everything to gain. You do a little bit of advertising to get them into their bar. That's a win-win and something that is always very well received. Bar patrons, when they come into a bar, are always very excited to see a free sip of something or a free drink. And so, you know, that is easy. It's cost-effective for the brand. And the ROI is pretty significant because you've got that contained environment. Handing out a hat to get, not, you know, whatever it takes to get somebody's email address.
Yep.
You know, give them a sticker, give them a pin, give them a coupon for, 20% on the website. These are all very simple ways that you're getting a face-to-face relationship with your customer. You're also getting feedback on your product as well. Something that you took for granted on the label that they don't understand, for instance. you know, a tone or a flavor that you didn't pick up when you were formulating, a phrasing of the product that you may not have even thought of, you know. These are things that are just immediate and significant feedback that is, you know, for especially for small businesses that are just starting up, it's just easy research, it's easy data, and it's easy sales.
That's so true. And to your point, you're going to introduce it to new customers, because there's a lot of people at the bar that would be so intrigued in that beverage. It's a great place to do your sampling. And what about my last question, just around, you know, top of funnel, because there are restrictions sometimes around ads. But if you're trying to grow your email list, and obviously organic social is very, you know, slow, long game, Are there people that are having success leveraging like a partner ecosystem to grow their customer base a little faster? I mean,
yeah, and regrettably, that's something I can't necessarily give away. But what I can say is that if anybody wants to get to hempbeverage.org and shoot me a note, I'd be more than happy to get you in touch with the folks that have really figured that out. You know, the way to navigate the digital landscape in such a way that is gets you the results that you need and gets you that in an affordable way and in a scalable way. I think that is of paramount importance. I'm not an expert in that part of the world, so I don't even want to pontificate on it. I am an expert of knowing a guy who does, though. So
yes. Give us a shout. Know a guy who knows a guy.
I know a guy who knows a guy.
And that's the power of the alliance, right? And that's exactly why, you know, if you can join, you know, don't hesitate. Again, one or two meetings already, it's just been so powerful and engaging. And, you know, everybody's super passionate because they want to see it move forward and they're willing to help and collaborate. So again, you know, go to the website for more information, because this is so important for the future of the industry.
Yeah, we're a good bunch of folks. So let's say, Joe, come on, join us up. Join up with us.
Yes, would love to see it. Well, I'm going to toss you into the lightning round before you go. And all right. So you've got five questions, rapid fire questions here. And you've got 10 seconds to answer. You ready?
Mm-hmm.
If you could be any animal, what would you be?
Dolphin.
Nice. What's your favorite hobby?
Poker.
Nice. All right. I've just been learning the card game golf, and it's a lot of fun. What's your favorite business book?
Oh, pass. Let me get back to that.
Okay. What's a quote you live by?
Fortune favors the brave.
Nice. Love that. If you were going to be frozen tomorrow for a one-way, 1,000-year interstellar voyage, what would you most want to communicate and to whom before you leave?
Boy, I think I would tell... That's a fantastic question. I would tell everybody that's in my immediate orbit, I am really, really sorry about this.
I love it. Oh, man.
And then as for business book, I will say this. I don't have the book in mind, but I don't read business books. I read human behavior books. And my recommendation to anybody would be, besides the 7 Steps to Success or Make a Million Overnight, read books about human behavior, read books about psychology, read books about how people tick and what are their causes them to act. And I think that is the best way to understand customers. And I think that's also just the best way to understand business as a whole.
Yeah.
Because it's people, right? It's people.
It's so true. I mean, once you understand that, you understand how to navigate a lot of difficult conversations and landscapes, and probably have a little bit of empathy too.
Empathy goes a long way, that's for sure.
It does. Well, thank you again. I really appreciate you coming on. And for the audience listening, if you need quick links, check out our Market Like a Badass show notes with links to social handles and the website. But Chris, in your own words, please tell our audience where they can find you.
They can find me at hempbeverage.org. We also have a robust presence on LinkedIn, which I think is also Hemp Beverage Alliance. So find us on LinkedIn, find us on the website, or find us wherever really awesome podcasts can be heard.
Perfect. Well, I'll drop this info in the show notes. Our listeners can find you. Thanks again for coming on. And in the meantime, follow us on Apple or Spotify, or go to marketlikeabadass.media for the latest episodes of Market Like a Badass.